Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're glad you're aboard the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Love having you aboard. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Challenging times, and we're living through them. And Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, even if you're not a current customer, by the way, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage will be with you every step of the way. We appreciate you hanging out with us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hopefully you have picked up a new hobby during the pandemic. Anthony, is there anything that you've done during the pandemic that you didn't do beforehand or you're doing more of? And I keep it clean.
Oh.
Keep it clean.
Good.
Keep it clean. Because I know the Bumble is just dried up. I mean.
I've been working with the Photoshop.
Okay, what have you been doing with Photoshop?
I'm just trying, you know, I'm just learning the ins and outs of the program.
Are you trying to make yourself better looking in your pictures for your Bumble profile?
No, I would never do that.
Are you like putting pecs on your pictures? You're manipulating them to add big bulging pecs?
I'm not going to try to catfish anybody.
Don't do that. I've got to tell you this. I am sitting out. ESPN has the Last Dance, and it was awesome. It was really well done. It was highly entertaining. I loved it. Two thumbs up. Big fan. Absolutely applaud it. Let me just say, though, again, it was not a documentary. It's not a documentary. Because if they did a documentary on John Kincaid, oh, I'm sure it'd be highly rated, that one. If they did a documentary on me, and I get to control the stories that are told, and I get to decide what people said about me or an event or otherwise gets to be edited, by definition, that's not a documentary. But I guess it doesn't matter in today's day and age. Now we can just say things are things and people will believe it. Now I find that Tom Brady's getting one. A 9-part documentary. One episode leading up to every Super Bowl. Well, first off, here's an error. ESPN, let me give you a few spoiler alerts. Here's an error for you. Around the country, people do not adore Tom Brady. Tom Brady is adored by his fan base. Tom Brady is greatly respected by people like me who are fans of other teams. Deeply respected. But Tom Brady's still playing. If you put a Jordan documentary out after Jordan retired the very next year, it doesn't have the same juice that The Last Dance did. A Tom Brady documentary? Do you think America's dying to see this? Really? First of all, Brady is not a beloved national figure like Jordan was. It's not even close. I mean, it's not even close. How the two men are looked at. One was one of the most beloved figures that ever played his sport. Brady's not. It's just not there. But more importantly, Tom Brady gets to control the message. He gets to edit the show. So it's not a documentary. You think Brady's going to tell you about, you remember how he didn't know the guys that handled the footballs on game day? He didn't even know these guys, but he really did know them because they were in his cell phone. You think he's going to show you them destroying the cell phone? You think he's going to show you the real stories behind the scenes? No. He's not going to let anything of, he's not going to let anything juicy out. None of us would want, I guess, our lives laid bare, our worst moments, our best moments, whatever. I mean, nobody would really appreciate that. But that's what the documentary would be. The minute that somebody is allowed to edit their own documentary, it's not a documentary. Because they get to control what you think and what you learn about them. They get to edit it. That ain't real. It's not real. You want to share a thought? I'd love to hear from you. We enjoy you when you join the show at 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced a great program. It's called the Geico Give Back. How about this? If you're a new policyholder or if you're one of their existing policyholders, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for information and eligibility. We'll be joined by Michael Caskey-Blomain coming up in just a few moments, CBS Sports NBA writer. We'll have his thoughts on the NBA coming back, and I wonder if Michael potentially will have Mickey Mouse ears on when he does the segment. Because Disney looks like it's going to be the home, which is exciting. Mike in Massachusetts has joined us on the line. Mike, you're on the John Kincaid Show. How you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Good. Yeah, you usually listen to WFAM, but I discovered just 6 in the morning because I was a little tired of the usual stuff. And I tell you, me and you are in the same type wheelhouse. Like I was telling your call screener, I grew up in Long Island as a little kid. I'm 49, so I remember the Islander.
Sure. Dynasty.
But then I moved to Western Mass at Pittsfield, so we're only about maybe an hour and 15 minutes from Hartford. And I used to go down to that crappy little mall and see the Whalers.
Oh, yeah, the Whalers.
And
did you ever go to
that song, I just started laughing because I never knew the name of that song.
It's called Brass Bonanza. Here's what you should do. In fact, what I'm going to do later today is I'm going to make it my ringtone. I've decided I'm going to make it my ringtone. Yeah, that's it. There you go.
I'm here in the People's Republic of Massachusetts, where everything is locked down. You know, I work for a supermarket company. The only thing in Massachusetts, you go to Walmart or you can go to the supermarkets. All the restaurants are locked down.
Oh wait, so Mike, wait a minute now. So you mean everybody who's staying home, they're counting on you to risk your life to go stock the shelves, make sure they have all the food they need.
I've been working there for 28 years. It's a union shop. They actually treat you pretty decent. I can't complain.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Now, Mike, though, I got to tell you, I know you can't peer out from behind the bars of your state, but we opened up around 30 days ago in Georgia. And life is good.
Where I am in Western Massachusetts, I'm literally on the New York line, so it's actually closer for us to go to Albany, New York, than Springfield, Mass. New York is on lockdown too.
Well, I can tell you, is that 30 days into it? But believe me, I didn't have to step over bodies today coming to work, like was predicted by one of the networks. I didn't. Life is good when we venture out and we're all responsible with each other. When everybody is respectful of each other.
What some people don't realize in New York, like I said, I'm right on the border, so I see the New York papers and Vista Post, and is Governor Cuomo. He started out brilliant, and then he sent all the nursing home patients up here to upstate New York. The county neighborly went from like 100 cases.
I can tell you this: everybody made mistakes. Everybody made mistakes in this. So I mean, and it's terrible. No one wants to make them, and everybody made them across all political lines, social lines, whatever. But hopefully, we're all going to find our way out of it soon.
So. Look, the county bordering me. I always look at cases because it's right in New York. They had 345 cases, 17 deaths, 16 were at one nursing home.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I appreciate your call. Thanks for checking in, man. We had the numbers from my home state in Pennsylvania the other day, and it's the street I grew up on in Broomall, Pennsylvania has a senior home, and it's had a senior home as long as I've been alive. And 38 residents died there. It's mind-boggling. It's terrible. But there were mistakes made by everybody. And as long as everybody's respectful of each other, follow the social distancing guidelines. Do the things that you're being asked to do when you go out in public. Don't be a jabroni. Don't be the person who they're asking you to wear a mask in a certain business. By the way, if they ask you to wear a mask in the business, and this is just my opinion, shut your mouth and wear a mask. Or don't go. You don't have to go. Just like if they open your state, like when they opened up Georgia, there were people freaking out. And it's like, nobody was going to drag me. And I told Anthony, nobody dragged me to a barbershop. Nobody dragged me to a restaurant. That was 30 days ago, by the way. And life is good. Life is good. And for everybody who risked their health to take care of all of us, as I hear Major League Baseball players say, I'm risking my life, bro. I hope Blake Snell saw all the young baseball players, youth baseball coming back this weekend, and the people posting videos from around the country of youth baseball returning. I'm risking my life, bro. You know who risked their life? The doctor and the nurses, the lab techs, the hospital workers that have been at work this entire time. They're the people who risk their lives. You know what? The first responders, the EMTs, ambulance drivers, those people. And by the way, the people working at my local supermarket, the people who made sure that everything that we needed to stay safe was on the shelf when we needed it. Those people risk their lives, Blake Snell. Yo, bro, I'm risking my life, bro. No, you aren't. You're playing stupid video games as a grown man during a pandemic. Which, fine, you can do whatever you want with your own time. But if you want to look stupid, you want to look bad, that's the way to do it. There are people who are really risking their lives every day. Who, by the way, when any one of us, including my family, was in lockdown, there were people who sent out members of their household to make sure that my family had food, had all the stuff that we needed to be in lockdown. Those people risked their lives, and Blake Snell and members of the Major League Baseball Players Association, I don't think, realize that. And I do believe this. I know enough baseball players. I've covered enough baseball over the years. Players, executives, otherwise. I assure you, and I speak with 100% certainty, that Blake Snell does not speak for the populace. He does not speak for the vast majority. I'm risking my life, bro. No, you aren't, bro. Not unless somebody took control of your video game controller in your luxurious pad. Baseball's got a very critical week. Next Sunday, we are going to start. We're going to start this show. And if Major League Baseball doesn't have an agreement in place, you can start the pray for the dead and the dead will pray for you, because whatever that dirge, that funeral dirge, that's going to be Major League Baseball kissing away their future. They have a fan base that's aging out, a viewership audience that's aging out. And if they don't play baseball because of money, it's something they... I don't believe the sport will ever recover. I do not believe we will ever see baseball recover. And the 94 strike should have shown me that, yes, people will come back. And, yes, I believe people will come back. But I do believe it will be irreparable harm. The NHL moving forward in a positive direction to get their games back to the audience. I believe by next Sunday, we will have the plan for the NHL. I believe we're going to know what the plan is by next Sunday when we take to the airwaves with this show. I've spoken to enough people that I think that's pretty confident that I'll say by next Sunday, we're going to know that what is about to happen with the NHL. We may even know more details by next Sunday about the NBA's plan, even if it's just to get players back into the facilities and working out, and what the plan will be before they go to Disney World, which is what I believe will be the resolution. We're going to know that by next week. But if next Sunday we take to the airwaves on this program and there is not an agreement in place with Major League Baseball, the great McDonald Carey said it long ago, like sands through the hourglass. And the clock is ticking. And it's ticking and the sands are running through that hourglass. And if they don't get this thing worked out, this thing's going to be one ugly encounter. And hopefully that's not what we're talking about next week. This has been the home of positivity. I'm hoping for positive. I'm hoping we've got a positive resolution to this entire story. And we're going to get to it coming up. What's the NBA season going to look like if they come back? And when they come back? MICKEYMOUSE. It's the John Kincaid Show. It's a Mickey Mouse operation here, really, on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
How dramatic. I want to see Victor Newman. I want to see Michelle Stafford. Phyllis in some of those dresses. The soap opera's got to come back. With this week, General Hospital ran out of episodes. So no General Hospital, no Young and the Restless. This sucks. L.A., Governor Newsom, if you're listening, will you open up, please? Tell that lady to open up, L.A. I need to find out what's going on at Jabot and Newman Enterprises. I want to know what's going on at Corinthos Coffee. And more importantly, Nell's the custody trial is on right now, and I'm missing it. There you go. Let's get back to life, would you? The NBA wants to get back to life. The NBA wants to bring their sport back to you. And they're going to try to do it reportedly at a remote site, a closed campus type facility down at Walt Disney World. Michael Caskey-Blomain from CBSSports.com covers the NBA and has a fantastic sort of an eye for the game as far as understanding. I think you understand the aspects of it, Michael, the business side and the basketball side of it. I bet you wish you were writing more now, though, about the basketball side than just the business side of it.
Yeah, absolutely, John. You got that right. The Last Dance provided a nice little break from, nothing going on. But at this point, I think we're all ready to get back to real game action.
Now, Michael, I mean, when you're hearing about this, and I do a podcast with Shaq. I talk to a lot of NBA people. It seems like there is extreme optimism that this thing is going to get done. It's just not sure how the T's are going to be crossed and the I's dotted. Do your sources sort of give you the same feel that this thing will happen?
Yeah, absolutely, John. I think that for the first time since the season was suspended on March 11th, there's genuine momentum and genuine optimism amongst people in the NBA, players, executives, coaches, general managers, that one way or another, this season is going to get finished. Obviously, there's still some logistical issues that they're trying to iron out in terms of, where, when, how many games, what the playoffs are going to look like, things like that. But at this point, I think it would be pretty surprising, if the season wasn't completed, which, a few weeks ago, a month ago, that wasn't necessarily the case. But I think in the past couple of weeks, there's been real momentum toward getting the season back in, in one way or another, and eventually crowning a, 2019-2020 NBA champion.
Now, is your gut instinct that the season, meaning the regular season, will in some way be resumed, or do you think this resumes with let's pick it up with the playoffs?
Yeah, John, I think in some shape or fashion, they're going to finish some of the regular season games. Now, whether that means all 82 games, whether it means getting each team up to 70 so they reach the threshold for the local TV contract money each season, that's a big number to look at. So I think that they're going to, at least get some of those regular season games in, A, for the TV contract money, but also because, you know, the players have been pretty adamant that they don't want to just, you know, kind of be dropped right back into postseason action. That's a pretty tough thing to go from, you know, inactivity, being sidelined for almost 3 months without access to facilities and courts, to go from that to go directly to not only basketball games, but postseason games, where we know the, you know, the competition's ramped up, the level of play is ramped up. I think the regular season games would almost serve as kind of a nice buffer for the players to get their legs back under them, get back to the, you know, get back into game shape. And then after they get a few of those under their belt, they'll feel more comfortable transitioning into the postseason.
Now, Shaq made some headlines on our podcast saying that, you know, he says, scrap it. He told me, he said flat out, scrap it. Don't do this. It's going to be an asterisk season, and guys are coming back. They've had off. Let's just resume next year. The people you talk to, you feel that's a very contrary opinion, right? Because everybody I hear is contrary to what Shaq was telling me.
Yes, John, especially amongst people that are presently playing. I know from any
Correct.
Players that I've talked to or seen anything they've said, or the people I've talked to, the players that are currently, you know, involved, especially the ones with something on the line. Now, I'm sure there's some players on some of the teams that were, you know, lottery bound, that are already eliminated from the playoffs, that have now had, you know, a couple months off, that probably would be okay with, you know, just taking the rest of the season off and extending the summer vacation. But for the guys like, you know, LeBron James, a Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, the guys that have teams in the playoffs, legacies on the line, things like that, I know they want to get back. I know the league wants to crown a champion. And, you know, obviously Shaq, we all love him. We all respect the things he say. But I don't necessarily think there will be an asterisk. You know, this is obviously an unusual situation. But each team is in the, you know, facing the same situation. It's going to be an even playing field for all the teams, regardless of what they've gone through when they get back. And, you know, when you talk about NBA champions, you don't necessarily remember, you know, the lockout season when the Spurs won in 99 or the Heat won in 2012 and they only won, you know, a 50-60 game regular
sure.
season. Over history, you know, that kind of fades away and you just remember the champion. And I think, sure, in the short term, maybe next year, some people will say, oh, you know, it's a little bit different than the regular champion. But, you know, 10 years down the road, when you're just looking back at the list of NBA champions, there's going to be a name there. And I think that's the main thing that the NBA wants to accomplish.
Michael Caskey-Blomain joins us from CBSSports.com covering the NBA here on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. I told Shaq he doesn't want to go back to work. He wants to be on a yacht on some, you know, off some island with a supermodel on deck. That's what he wants.
That's what it is.
Let's be honest. That's what I called him out on it. I know what his summers are like. I mean, he's living the lifestyle, the rich and famous. I know. Do you believe?
Can't blame him, I guess.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, hey. Now, when we had Mark Cuban on the podcast, and he talked about the fact that his pitch all along to Commissioner Silver and to his fellow owners was that the NBA should start in December. And he said, closer to Christmas is better, like in his opinion. Do you believe this will change the calendar of the NBA forever? If they do,
you know,
if they do go back this summer?
That's a great question, John. I don't know if it's forever. Obviously, I think next season will certainly be altered. And it's really interesting because that is something that had been tossed around in league circles before, obviously, you know, and any of this happened, before the season was suspended. There was some people, Mark Cuban included, other owners, other, you know, executives and media members that wanted to see the season shifted, you know, for a variety of reasons, not to avoid going up against the NFL in the fall, just to kind of flatten out the calendar a little bit better, make things work a little bit smoothly. So I do think that they'll use this opportunity now as an opportunity to at least try that out. Maybe next season, if this, you know, this current season isn't resumed until July and it plays throughout Labor Day, obviously, that'll push back the 2020-21 season. They could try to start that around Christmas, and then, you know, if that works smoothly and it's something they like, I think that the following off season, that will get some serious, you know, conversation in the NBA, the Board of Governors meetings, about potentially making that shift permanent.
All right, Michael, take us behind the scenes of your life a little bit. During the pandemic, is there any new hobby you've picked up? Anything that you've done more of that now you've gotten better at? Have you taken up something that you maybe didn't take up before?
Oof, that's a great question. I would say cooking. I think that's something for a lot of people.
I've been doing that too.
I feel like that's been a good way to, you know, learn, expand the skills a little bit. I was never a great cook, and I think the opportunity now to do a little bit more is expanded. I've tried to, you know, I have a stack of books sitting on my desk that I, you know, I want to get through, and it's, I've had a little bit more opportunity to read, so that's been a positive too.
It's exciting. You want to get back to work though, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm itching to cover, like you said, when we first started, to get back to some real games and some real, you know, real action.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm telling you this. It is, it's been great to talk to you, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. We're going to bother you in the summertime, because if they're going to have NBA games, we'll come back and get to you, all right?
That would be great. I really enjoy talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Check out his work, CBSSports.com, covering the NBA. Michael Caskey-Blomain joining us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. So Peter Schwartz is getting now some fun and games as he celebrates 40 years since the Islanders' great run started. And it's funny how people remember it on, you know, we've had a lot of reaction from people on social media. Now, are you bummed that Anthony did not know Brass Bonanza? Or did, you know, the Hartford Whalers song? Did you know that?
I'm somewhat surprised. I tell you what, I always used to love going to see the Islanders play in Hartford. It's a short drive from Long Island, not far.
Yes.
And I always hoped the Whalers would score a goal, but the Islanders would score one more.
Yeah, because you get to hear the song.
Because I wanted to hear the song.
Dun, ba, 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 ba. Oh, it was awesome.
They did come out. They did play it when the Whalers would come on the ice, too. But
yes,
you wanted to see what happened when they scored a goal. So
yes, it was awesome.
There you go.
Da, 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 da. Now, did you ever go to Chuck's Steakhouse in the old mall?
No, usually my budget was limited to the Wendy's.
You hit the Wendy's in the food court. You were in the food court in the mall. It was one of the
and
things.
You know
is
what
when,
was great?
Yes.
I think you know what was great about the Whalers when they played in Hartford? They were, I'm pretty sure, they revolutionized the team store, because it was a big thing to go to the Hartford Whalers team store before you went to the game. I think they were the first team to have a store
24/7, like, you
arena.
Know, during a mall, right? Yeah. You could do that.
Yeah.
Now, here's a great story for you. And I don't remember the date of it, but working for Mike Keenan and Mark LaForest once gave up a series of goals on a Saturday night game at Hartford. And someone who will go nameless. So the Flyers play in Hartford. They give up like 8 goals. And Mark LaForest was in the nets that night. Somebody who will go nameless proceeded to leave Brass Bonanza on his home answering machine 8 times. So he kept, you have a new message. Da, 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 ba, 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 ba. I disavow any knowledge of who pulled that prank. But he got it. It was a great song.
It was a great place to go see hockey. I was so upset when the Whalers left.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it was an easy road trip, and it was great. And I'll tell you, I went to a few years after the Whalers left, I went with some friends to a Hartford Wolfpack game.
Right.
Near the Rangers farm
team. Did they play the song?
And they don't play the song, and it was really, really weird because you go into that arena, and
yes,
there was like no evidence that the Whalers ever played there.
It was so dark.
Sad.
It was so sort of dark and gloomy,
yep,
you know. Now,
yeah,
did you know that now we would go down to the old Cap Center?
Yes, so I was there.
When working for the Flyers, we would go down and sometimes cover scout a game down in the Cap Center or go down and see the Flyers play there. And when you walked into the Cap Center, there were these black drapes at all the entrances.
Yeah.
Because you know what happened? The true story? The owner of the Caps bought one of the first video screened scoreboards in the entire country.
A Poland, right?
So he bought it. But he bought it like sight unseen from whoever did it, like Sony or somebody produced it. When they hung it up in the Cap Center, they couldn't see it because there was too much light. So you couldn't see the TV. It was a bad picture. So they had to paint every ceiling, every wall, and then put drapes up to make it completely dark just so you could see the Jumbotron.
It was a dingy building.
Oh, it was terrible. And the Cap Center organist, God rest his soul if he's passed on. He knew one thing to play. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. I could have learned to play it. You could have taught me in 10 minutes, and I could have played that and been the Cap Center organist. Totally unimaginative.
Yeah, yeah,
Peter,
yeah.
It's been great catching up with you today, buddy.
Absolutely. Gotta same here, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Let's do it soon. All right, we got a lot coming up. And by the way, I've been talking a lot today. I usually do on the show.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Bang. Telling you, the very depressed... We have watched the Big Bang Theory, and we've been binge watching it, catching up on it because we hadn't watched it. We have 3 episodes left, Anthony. We will be finished with the Big Bang Theory, which ended just like a year ago. But we're very disappointed. No more Sheldon. I mean, it's incredible. This is disappointed. Absolutely disappointed. All right, Jonathan in Columbia, South Carolina, joins us on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Jonathan?
Pretty good. How about you? You staying healthy?
I'm staying healthy and happy and ready to go.
I just had a suggestion on the baseball salary situation.
Okay.
Why don't they, the team owners, if you contract the coronavirus while you're playing... Why don't they guarantee their original salary? Because everybody, they're trying to say that this isn't about money, but they'll do it for all their money.
Okay, but here's the deal. What I'd say to you is someone who is unscrupulous would be willing to contract coronavirus to get all the money while somebody else who doesn't contract it wouldn't get all their money. I don't trust people. Yeah, if you said that... If you said, you're going to come back and play for half your salary, but if you contract coronavirus, we're going to pay your whole salary. I could see someone being unscrupulous and saying, I'm young, I'm healthy, I can contract the virus, and it's not going to have any effect on me. Honestly, well, under the age of 40, under the age of 50, for that matter, there have been the mortality rate is minuscule. So I could see people being unscrupulous. You can't have that rule. I don't think you'd be able to have that rule.
Well, I would just think at... You know, the amount of money they make, you know, they wouldn't take, you know, there's still a chance with your life in taking it, you know.
I got you.
It might be a good idea.
I got you.
It would put pressure on them, you know, to say,
well,
hey.
I think what should put, and I appreciate your call, I think what should put pressure on them is the fact that youth baseball started in different parts of the American South, all over the place. Youth baseball going on. And Major League Baseball players, you got Blake Snell. I'm risking my life, bro. It's like a war zone out here. Now, Blake, put down your video game remote, your joystick, no pun intended. You take that, put it on the table, open your door, go on outside, get some fresh air, and realize, wait a minute. You mean people are back to life here? Oh, my gosh. You mean like people have been out and about for like weeks? Yeah. Venture outside, Blake. The water's fine. The water is just fine. Is anybody, a gentleman asked me here. Steve wants to know. Steve in Denver. Denver, hello, Denver. Steve wants to know if I have a rooting interest in the Tiger-Phil matchup today. No, I can't really think because I would root for Tiger over Phil, but I'd root for Peyton over Tom. So it sort of puts you in a quandary, and I bet you there's a lot of people that are in that same boat. You want to have a rooting interest to watch something. Everything I watch, I want to have some sort of a rooting interest in. I've told you before, I like rooting for the villains on a television show or in a movie or something. I love rooting for the villains. I like the villainous characters better. They're more interesting. They're more multidimensional usually. There's usually a reason that they try to humanize them. I find that far more interesting than the Goody Two-Shoe character. Because one day when one of these soaps picks me up to be on their show, I want to play a bad guy. I don't want to play a good guy. I want to play a bad guy. 855-212-4CBS if you want to jump in at 855-212-4CBS. As we prepare to move towards this week, again, this is the ultimatum week. We've talked about it a lot this morning. It is the time where pedal meets metal. This is the time. You have to see baseball come up with their plan. Aaron shares a thought and says, John, if you think the baseball players are going to do the right thing, you're out of your mind. I don't believe we're going to see baseball again this year. Okay, Aaron, the only thing I'm going to say to you is this. There's a Yankee avatar in your profile, and that's cool. You're a big Yankee fan. That's great. But I think what you're letting is you're letting your Main Street affect the view that, remember, what you're seeing in New York is not what 95% of the rest of the country sees or has experienced. And Major League Baseball's in all these different places. There's going to, I will be shocked if there's no baseball. I'll be shocked. Because I don't believe that anybody who has the opportunity is going to kill the golden goose. And if baseball doesn't believe that they can kill the supply chain of interest in their sport, they're out of their mind. They haven't been watching the NBA. They haven't been observing the NBA and how the NBA has chipped away to clearly become the second or the third sport in the United States of America. I would still say college football is ahead of the NBA. So you got NFL, you got NBA, you got college football. You got the three of them, those sports that sort of dominate right now. But baseball, if it wants to become irrelevant, if it wants to end up being irrelevant, it's going to end up doing exactly what it says. It's going to end up doing exactly what it says. It's going to fight over money, and it's going to risk alienating their fan bases at a time when everybody has been asked to sacrifice. It's a problem here. Now, I don't understand it. Anthony, I don't want to answer this one, so I'm going to let you answer it because I think I'm going to answer it sarcastically, and I don't want to do that, all right? So I'm going to ask you to answer this one.
Sure.
Malcolm says, yes, what are you talking about? What are you talking about risking your life by someone working in a supermarket? Dude, you're reaching. I was responding to Blake Snell saying, I'm risking my life, bro, to play baseball. And I brought up the fact that Blake Snell's been sitting inside eating Cheerios and protein bars that are probably distributed by a store that he goes to. Or they're delivered to his house by somebody or otherwise. Am I out of my mind there?
No, Anthony? You're not. No.
The guy who's been, the person who's been sitting on their couch playing video games. By the way, that's what Blake Snell told you he's been doing. That guy can't tell the person who's been going to work every day. So they can have food, they can have electricity, they can have, that person doesn't have, can't tell that other person, right? Or am I out of my mind here? It's unbelievable. This is crazy. In closing today, and I don't want to make it a closing argument, it's been a little bit of a different day. I'm very, very interested in the fact that, to me, there is going to be a term that is starting to die off. It's starting. It's not there yet. It is not there yet. It hasn't died yet, but it's going to die. And when it dies, we're all going to be better off for it. It's the new normal. We have to get used to our new normal. It's the new normal. You know what? It isn't the new normal. It's not. You know why? Because a month ago, I couldn't go into a store without a mask. And in lots of places in the country, you couldn't even go to a store a month ago. And now you can go to a store. A month ago, I wasn't able to go to the park. That was my new normal. You know what I can do now? I can go to the park. We're going to go hike a mountain today. Me and my wife and my daughter, we're going to go hike a mountain today. A month ago, that mountain was, we couldn't go. It was closed. The park's system was closed. So that was our new normal, according to some people. And then, you know what? Normal changes. And you know what normal's getting to? for many of the across the country, it's getting back to life. And sports is going to be part of that. And what I found is this, because the place that I live in Atlanta, Georgia, 680 The Fan, home of the JK Show, what I found is when people are respectful of each other, mind your social distance, do all those things, look what happens. First of all, it brings some sense of normalcy back. But you know what it also does? It can bring sports back to all of us. And that's what everybody's hoping for. Everybody wants that their favorite hobby, rooting for their favorite team. Everybody wants to have that experience again. And the more we cooperate with each other, but get back to living, which is what we're slowly doing in many parts of the country, the quicker we get to that, the better it's going to be for all of us, especially in sports talk radio. It's been fun today, though. Been a lot of fun. Want to see by next week, I've set the deadline. By next Sunday, when we reconvene, we'll see where the NBA is. We'll see where the NHL is. But if Major League Baseball doesn't have a proposal, I will get very negative. I'm going to tell you, I'll be very negative on the prospect of there being a season this year. And that's not what any one of us wants. Hopefully you've had a great Sunday with us. We've had a lot of fun. And we really appreciate you finding the John Kincaid Show every week. Tell your family, tell your friends. On this Memorial Day weekend, remember what it's about. The people who died in service to our country. If there's anybody you can thank, they're not around. So think about them this weekend in memory. We'll be back next Sunday. JK Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.